Good morning. Welcome to this worship service of the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan, on this lovely June Sunday, the Sunday of Pentecost. Delighted to have those of you who are here in the sanctuary this morning, as well as those of you who are with us online in our hybrid worship. I'm Rick Mixon, the transitional pastor here at First Baptist Ann Arbor. I'm glad to be worshiping with you on this day. Sam is off today. I think she's got a big day with family, and including Emmanuel's graduation party this evening after a performance of West Side Story this afternoon. So it's a busy day for her. She'll be back next week. As we sing our opening hymn, the ushers will come down the aisles and collect prayer cards. There's little prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you. If you have a prayer concern, a joy or concern you'd like to lift up today, please fill out one of those cards and we'll include it in our prayer time later in the service. There are also connect cards for you to give us a variety of information about yourself and your relationship, your concerns about First Baptist. So you can fill those out and put those in the offering plate as well. The choir has one more Sunday. We welcome Carrie this morning, who's filling in for Shanae, who's still in Korea. This week will also be the last Bible study for the spring. And then I want to note that there's an article in the bulletin about the Ann Arbor Summer Festival, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. We'll have adult education this morning, and next week we're going to focus a little bit, have some conversation about worship. So today we'll talk about worship in general, and next Sunday we'll talk about music and worship in a more focused way. So I invite you all to come and be part of that conversation about worship and worship at First Baptist. Now, I have a test for you, but this scripture that we're using today, the Acts 2, the story of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, often we have people read pieces of the service in different languages. How many here speak some other language than English? There are a few of you who do? Okay, so when we come to the point in the scripture where I say, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. You'll see in the bulletin, there's a line for you to read. God loves us and wants the best for all creation. You try that? God loves us and wants the best for all creation. Now, those of you who speak another language, add that other language in, if you will. And so when we read this, we'll read it in whatever languages come from your mouth, okay? So let's try it. I'll give you the cue. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Did you hear another language around you somewhere? Let's try it once more. Okay. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Okay, so when we come to that part, we're going to do that. We're going to do it three times. So I invite you to share that good news about God's deeds of power with, if you will, three different people, or the same person three times. I don't care. Practice hearing in different languages rather than each hearing in our own language. Hope that's clear as mud. All right. Marissa.
O Holy One, we gather to rediscover fire, kindled by an ember that flew from the great radiance, love's bright beginning in time and space, flaming forth now in us.
May our own spirit-fanned words and the thoughts of our hearts become love's flames, tongues of forgiveness, sentences of justice, declaring the good news that wisdom burns in the heart of this cosmic adventure.
Pour out a Pentecostal blessing upon us. Transform our babbling into a syntax of blessing, a proclamation that the world is ablaze with your glory, that we are suffused in spirit.
And all creation is awaiting our arrival as your children. Fire, now shape-shifted into conscious future forgers, willing to reveal and realize God's beloved community.
Let us pray. O God, Holy One, you come to us as earth, water, wind, and fire, a flash of lightning, an uncontrollable source of energy and power. Even while we try to keep you safely within the confines of our hymns and our scripture readings and theology, your spirit breaks forth in new and unexpected ways, reminding us that you are the one in whom the whole earth rejoices. In this time of worship and prayer, loosen our chains, open our hearts, bring us together as community, that we may hear and respond to your Spirit's call. Amen.
Thank you.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power."
God loves us and wants the best for all creation. God loves us and wants the best for all creation. God loves us and wants the best for all creation.
All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Petra, standing with the 11, raised her voice and addressed them.
"People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of God's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Holy One shall be saved."
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So Miss Ann's not here this morning. I'm going to do time with children. So if I do this, do you know what that is? Have you ever done that before? What is it? It's a game. So put your hands like this. Can you put your hands like this? Have you ever put your hands like this? Can you do that, Galen? Can you put your hands like this? Just put all your fingers together and do the best you can. Okay. So there's an old children's game that I learned in Sunday school when I was your age, and it says, "This is the church." You ever heard that before? This is the church. Now, this is the steeple. Right? Open the door and see all the people. That's right. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. We are the church. All these people that are gathered here, we are the church. It's not really this building. This building just gives us a space where we can come together and worship and sing and play and learn, right? But we are the church. So Mary, Ms. Mary Davis, you know Mary? You know Mary? She's our moderator this year. That's sort of like with the president of our church board. She's our number one layperson this year. And she suggested that we use a song kind of as a theme song for this year that's called "I Am the Church, You Are the Church, We Are the Church Together." Right? So we're going to sing that song. We're going to start by just singing the chorus of that song. Now, a long time ago, when I had a church far, far away in a place called Palo Alto in California. Anybody ever heard of California? Have you been there? Has anybody been there? Have you been to California? Have you? Cool. So, not you. Someday. I'll bet you get there someday. Anyway, I was pastor of First Baptist Church in Palo Alto, California. And there was a child like you who came to me after the service and said, "Do you own the church? Is this your church?" And what do you think I said? No, because I don't own the church. I just work for the church. So we are the church together. So let's try this song. Carrie, can you play it through? We're just going to do the chorus right now. Just play the chorus through so we can hear it. Let's try it. Everybody help the kids sing this morning, just the chorus. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, we are the church together. Let's do it one more time. I am the church, you are the church. Now you can go to Sunday school as part of the church together. Don't drop that baby. Not often you get newborns and the time for children. We are the church together. Amen. Pray with me. Holy One, our world is on fire. But sadly, it's not the dancing fire of Pentecost. It's a devastating blaze of war and threat of war, of apartheid and genocide, of children starving and murdered, of violence of every kind, but especially gun violence in our own neighborhoods, of people fleeing oppression in hopes of finding welcome, of homo hatred and misogyny, of raging wildfires and melting glaciers, of hurricanes and tornadoes, of dishonest, self-absorbed leadership in seats of power, along with immoral budget proposals, of threats to social safety nets and fundamental freedoms. Forgive us for the times we have been silent or even complicit. Fires threaten our very existence. Lead us, God, in your righteousness to speak out and to work for the common welfare of all people and for the well-being of all creation. Healer of our every ill, you have loved us beyond our ability to comprehend, and you bless us beyond our imagining. In the grace of your great love and deep blessing, help us to be instrumental in building up your beloved community. Spirit of gentleness, we bring to you the joys and concerns of our hearts, and we lift them to you for comfort, healing, and blessing this day, as we also lift prayers from our gathered group, the body of Christ, in this place, our church together, for our pastoral search committee, for Bob Reynolds in the hospital, for Marlene Francis, John Vandervliet, Grange Burnside, David Gregg, Joan Blunt, Becky Lepley, Adrian Moulton Headley, Peg and Joe Bradford and the McCracken family who have had to flee their homes because of the fires in Canada, for Rob Snyder, Roberta Hawes, Mervyn Newcart, Esther Floyd, Catherine Cartier, Chuck Suits, Linda Berg, Marilyn Marsh, Pidgey Caroli, Dakota Lawson, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, Lindsay Grace, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, and Faye Key. Empowering God, you gave the church the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. Look upon your church today and hear our petitions. Grant that gathered and directed by your Spirit, we may confess Christ as our source of abundant life and combine our diverse gifts with a singular passion to continue Christ's mission in this world, until we join together in your eternal praise. And now let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught his first disciples, saying,
Oh,
And now we take a few moments to reflect on our need for God. Using this prayer poem by John Vandalar, Ordinary People. Holy One, life is a mystery, far too deep for us to fathom, too large for us to grasp. We are just ordinary people, seeking to make each day something special, and hoping that in some way our lives might have meaning, might count. We recognize that we need so much. We need wisdom and strength. We need compassion and courage. So we turn to you as the source of what we need. What a surprise it is to discover that you are within us. In Jesus, you have stepped into our world. By your Spirit, you have stepped into our hearts. How often we have missed this hidden treasure inside us. Yes, we are just ordinary people, but we are your image, and we are filled with your presence. Forgive us our blindness and for our neglect of the gift of yourself with which you have generously blessed us. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a few moments to reflect on these words and your need for God. The Spirit has been poured out on us to bring good news. The Spirit is at work in all good things. The Spirit is within you. Love one another. Forgive one another. Work for justice together. Seek peace together. Practice mercy together. And the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding will be with you. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As you probably surmised by now, I'm fond of prayer poems. Among my favorites, I'm drawn to the work of Bruce Sangwin and John Vandalar, both of whom are included in today's service, both of whom are Canadian clergy as well as writers. As I typed today's call to worship, I was particularly intrigued by Bruce Sangwin's phrase, "Transform our babbling into a syntax of blessing." A syntax of blessing. What an alluring concept. Now let's be clear, when we speak of syntax, we're talking about a single word spelled with a Y, not two words spelled with an I. The issue of syntax levied on such vices as tobacco products and alcohol is for another Sunday and a different sermon. Though it is true that a concern for drunkenness does get raised in today's text, doesn't it? Well, the syntax we're concerned with this morning is defined as the arrangement of words and phrases to create well-formed sentences in a language. So what would be some well-formed sentences of blessing? What would be some well-formed sentences of blessing in your thinking? We know that in some parts of the South, "bless your heart" might be offered, though the degree to which that is a sincere desire for blessing is often suspect. But what are some sentences of blessing that come to your minds this morning? Some sentences of blessing. Yeah, let's take a minute. Share a sentence of blessing with somebody around you. Take a chance. A sentence of blessing you can share with somebody. For me, I find myself offering birthday and anniversary blessings rather than saying happy birthday or happy anniversary. I will ask God's blessing on the grieving and for those who suffer. I'll end a meaningful conversation by praying a blessing on my partners in conversation and what we've shared. When the issue of marriage equality was heated, I came to believe that rather than engaging in restrictive and exclusionary patterns, the church ought to be in the business of blessing. Blessing all sorts of relationships. And the older I get, the more inclined I am to want to bless people and situations than to judge them. I can remember a number of years ago now being intrigued by Matthew Fox's notion of original blessing in contrast to the church's more traditional focus on original sin. There's that sin word popping up again. Over the years, Fox's notion has become increasingly important to my own theology and worldview. In the very first chapter of the first book of the Bible, as creation is wrapped up on the sixth day, the ancient word is that God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. Day by day, God calls what God has made good. Light and dark, sun, moon, and stars, an infinite variety of plant life, waters teeming with aquatic creatures of every kind, animals to walk on the earth, and birds to soar in the skies. And then on the culminating day, God shapes creatures in the image and likeness of God and breathes the breath of life into humankind. And finally, God looks around and proclaims it all very good. Sounds like an affirmation to me. A message that God looked at God's creation and blessed it. The syntax of blessing. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. So sin, with an I, creeps in the form of anything and everything that gets in the way, that separates us from God, from God's love, from God's grace, from God's blessing, all of which are infinitely abundant and eternally available. There is really only one simple thing we need to do. We need to turn toward God's gifts and accept them. Accept them. It's not so complicated to understand that what is freely and joyously offered by God, the syntax of blessing, if you will, can only be experienced when we open ourselves to it. So simple, and yet so challenging. I suppose it always means we have to let go of something, most likely control, in order to embrace all of that with which God blesses us. And we don't like much giving up control if we can help it. But I like the perspective in the first of today's words of preparation. Here, Richard Hauser writes, "The primary effect of the Spirit acting in people will be love, both for one another and for God." Is this not the chief meaning of Pentecost? Hauser maintains that in our spiritual practice, God's Spirit joins our spirit. It does not replace it. The good acts we perform are truly our acts, not simply acts of the Holy Spirit in us. You see, we don't have to give up our God-given agency to speak alongside God, the syntax, the well-formed and deeply felt sentences of blessing. Hauser continues, "The deepest part of the self is the spiritual dimension. From the center flows all our freedom and love. At this level, we remain free to choose to move or not move with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit," he says, "is indeed active in us at all times, drawing us toward greater love and service of God and others. But the Spirit does not control our response. That flows, friends, from our freedom. Will we choose to make the syntax of blessing our own? The Holy Spirit moves in us toward good, the goodness of God's creation, acts of love and service, cultivating the syntax of blessing, the ineffable joy of knowing that we are loved, the infinite grace of God which keeps reaching out to us, all gifts of the Spirit, products of Pentecost, birthday gifts for the body of Christ. Will we accept the gifts and join the celebration?" On this Pentecost Sunday, my prayer for you and me and all the world is this: pour out a Pentecostal blessing upon us. Transform our babbling into a syntax of blessing, a proclamation that the world is ablaze with your glory, that we are suffused in spirit, and that all creation is awaiting our arrival as your children. Fire now shape-shifted into conscious future forgers, willing to reveal and realize God's beloved community. May it be so. Amen. As the ushers come, we give back to God a portion of that with which we have been blessed. The world knows of your love through the kindness and care we share with one another. The world knows of your love by our readiness to share in your liberating love for all peoples. May the offerings we bring this day be a transforming source of good news, hope, and promise in which the whole world may rejoice. Amen. And now I invite you to greet one another with the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Life, you are within us, with us, and around us always. With every breath we give thanks. With every breath we know life. With every breath we know we will return to you. Spirit of life, breathe something new into the world now. Spirit of truth, breathe your wisdom into us now. Spirit of hope, lead us forward as you work in us and the whole body of Christ. Spirit of life, move us again and again and again. Amen.
Thank you.